are you going to play, Sam?
We're going to play Take Me Out to the Ball Game. We're all going to sing it, too.
Welcome you to another edition of Meet Me at Mutual. You probably don't know it because you're probably listening to this at the normal time or whenever you actually normally listen to our show, but it's actually coming to you a little earlier tonight as Alan and I are getting a little head start with the late West Coast games. I'm your host, Daniel Shoptoff, C70 at the bat, at C70 on Twitter. With me again is Alan Medlock from the Redbird Daily at AMedlock1 on Twitter. It's been, Alan, it's been a little bit of an interesting week, and more interesting, I mean, it's been okay on the field, but it's been really interesting off the field. We have the whole Dexter Fowler situation, and everybody that's listening to this knows the situation, but just to recap, obviously Dexter Fowler has been rough all year long, and then John Mozeliak goes on KMOX on Sunday and Danny Mac's podcast on Monday, and depending on how you take his comments, it really kind of put Dexter under a bus, at least especially with effort issues. He kind of seemed to contrast Fowler to somebody that was hustling like Harrison Bader, it's difficult to defend Dexter Fowler. There are ways to take that it doesn't come off quite as rough as it is, but that's not the way most people took it. Dexter was on paternity leave at the time, which is not exactly great timing for all this, but he comes back and kind of says, you know, hey, I need to play to get better, and, you know, people think that that's not really the way the things are going, and such and such and so and so. It's hard to know really where to come down on this, isn't it?
Yeah, it's tough. You could really feel it building last week, toward the end of the week, and then when the comments were made on Sunday, it was funny. I wasn't listening on Sunday, and Adam Butler sent a message out to our group that he goes, he's saying some things that are kind of out of character. And I looked for it all day and couldn't find it. And then, you know, we kind of talked, you know, on our group messages to kind of find out what was said. And, you know, in that context, you were thinking, well, that's out of character for Mo, but he's right. You know, that's unfortunately that's some of the questions that have been asked. Well, I mean, we know that. The podcast I thought was pretty telling and really open. That was one. It kind of surprised me. I listened first thing Monday, and I thought, whoa, that's you know, some shots fired at a time that's probably not the best as he's on paternity leave. Let's see how this plays out. So you could kind of tell this week that some things were going to happen. It did. I don't know where I stand on the situation. I'm glad that there's a little bit of fire. I do think there's an element of this of poker playing by Mo, that some of this was more directed than we think, and some of it was more planned and methodical than is being led on. But it sure doesn't sound, with Fowler getting back at some of the comments he made yesterday, it sure doesn't sound like he's super happy with it. And he tried to get it to die down yesterday. I didn't think he did the best way of doing so. And then today, of course, it was still the hot topic on any of the radio shows. So I don't know where this is going to end up. It doesn't seem like it's a marriage that's very happy. I saw where Mark Saxon had actually talked to an executive from another team that said it's basically going to be impossible to trade him, even if they do eat, you know, a good share of the money. So I really don't know. I was personally surprised that he did not play yesterday. And when you look at it, I didn't really want him to play because that outfield's so tough. And we've seen even a good outfielder in Randall Grichuk a few years ago have issues in right field there. And I was hoping, I really thought that it was going to be more of a PR move to play him or to, hey, we have 9 games left before the break. Let's see if we can get something out of this. Let's see if we can salvage it and see if he can come back. And the weight of having a child off his shoulders, all kinds of stuff, see if he can start hitting. Just wasn't the case. It's obviously ice cold somewhere. Didn't play. It didn't in the lineup tonight, which is another thing that surprised me a little bit. So I don't know. I'm glad Matheny's playing the best players right now. I feel bad for Fowler. I do feel like he's had his chance. I hope this works out well for the Cards. I hope it works out well for Fowler, per se. But I just don't know the end game on this. I personally thought that, and I'd sent you a late night message last night that kind of said, how surprised would you be if you woke up to find out that Fowler had been DFA'd? No one was going to take him because of the contract, and then you could work something out from there. Probably unrealistic, but if they did have a roster spot that they were going to have to play with the young coming back. So, you know, I think everything's on the table, or maybe nothing's on the table. I really just don't know what direction it's heading.
Yeah, it's a tough thing to figure out. You know, I made an effort to go listen to Danny Mac's podcast as well, which I download a lot of Danny Mac's interviews, and I like to listen to them. I just don't always get around to catching the things with Mo before they're kind of outdated. But I made sure after everybody's discussion to talk to that. And, you know, there was some of that of, you know, him just saying he can't really step into Dexter's shoes. It's difficult for anybody to really say if somebody's giving 100% or if somebody's giving as much as they think they can give. And sometimes it looks pretty obvious that they are. Sometimes it seems to not, but just because appearances are not always the way to go about that. And I thought that's kind of what Mo was getting at to begin with, but
sure.
Then to start comparing him to Dexter Fowler or Harrison Bader, basically, and saying there are people that are hustling and those are the people that are going to get playing time, then it's hard not to say, you know, that's what he's doing. And I know Mo was trying to probably fire up the team, but you're right, it does tend to hurt your any possible trade standing. Not that there is much of one when Dexter Fowler's hitting 170 and has $55 million left on his contract. You're not going to get much for him anyway. But when you go out and then say, oh, he's hitting 170, he's got $55 million left on his contract, and he may not actually play hard. I don't think that's what you call a toxic asset right there. Nobody's going to touch that. So you're kind of stuck with him, I feel like. You know, you're right, you could do the DFA route, but that's just, one, that's not really the Cardinals' MO.
No.
And, you know, it's 3 years left. I mean, if it was the last year of the contract, if it was this year plus next year, maybe. I think still stretch if we had it. But, you know, if it was the rest of this year, sure. But with, you know, 3 whole years after this year, I just can't see them. Because, I mean, who knows? I mean, you could see Dexter Fowler, you know, have a miserable year this year and come, you know, work in the off season, come to camp and just, you know, get some good luck, get everything and have a good year next year. You could see that. And you'd hate to cut loose on that if you, you know, the opportunity. Now, the other side of the coin, as somebody on Twitter said, it's kind of funny that we start out with, you know, Dexter Fowler and John Mozeliak, and we always seem to wind up with talking about Mike Matheny and the deal. You know, there is what seems to be a very poisonous atmosphere between the manager and Dexter Fowler. You know, Mark Saxon saying today that Dexter Fowler has basically gotten to ignoring or maybe even blocking the daily lineup text and apparently it's a daily lineup text and motivational speech or something like that from Mike Matheny, maybe some motivational quote or something that goes along with the lineup. Whatever it is, it's not working on Dex, cause he's blocking those and not dealing with it. You know, you were talking about how there was pretty obvious, I think he was obviously going out of his way not to talk to Dexter Fowler last night. There is some, there's just not there. And again, you hate to lay it all on Matheny because you don't know how the situation degraded. And it's difficult to get everybody to like you in a clubhouse, but it's hard not to blame a little bit there on the manager when it gets that bad.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, and that's, I think it, it's well put how you say that is it always kind of circles back to Matheny a little bit. Yeah, there was a situation last night in the dugout, and anybody was, that was watching it had seen. Now, given it was late, I don't know how many people were, and at that point, Weaver had already given up a hit, so some people had, may have retired because it was pretty wide margin at that point. But there was a scene in the dugout to where Matheny signals over Shildt, and Shildt, you could read Shildt's face and kind of tell what was going on, and there was a plan in place, and then whatever happened, you could tell that Matheny told him, go tell such and such, such, and then there was an, oh, okay, I get it, I'll do it. Shildt directly goes over to Fowler, and Matheny talks to Ozuna. Well, at that point, you find out that Bader had shifted to left and Fowler was in right field. So I thought, well, that kind of goes in line with the communication issue, that they probably aren't talking, and it's probably pretty icy between the two of them. I try not to defend either side on this, and like I said, it's no one cares my personal opinion on it. But when you look at the roster, and they need wins, and they need to put things together, Matheny's in a tough spot on that to try to keep guys happy. Mm-hmm. One thing that's funny is even after not playing a majority of the last, would you say 2 weeks, maybe 2.5 weeks, where they've kind of been a timeshare, but Bader's played a lot.
Yeah.
Fowler's still fifth on the team in plate attempts.
Hmm.
You know, so yeah, he's had a shot.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how they're going to work it back into it to where he can get a rhythm, but it's hard to, outside of this, to take a full scope and to look down on the situation and all the issues that we all have with Matheny either, it's hard to make him look like the bad guy in this deal.
Yeah.
In that relationship.
Absolutely. You're right. I mean, how many times have people complained about the fact that Dexter Fowler's playing this year? A lot. He has gotten, now it looks like Yachty's going to pass him here in the next day or so in at-bats. But, yeah, he's right in there. And I'm sure it's a little bit heavier weighted toward the beginning, and he's not played a lot lately. But, again, you're hitting 171.
Yeah.
You know, and since that walk-off homer, I wonder if I'll pull that up. I started my sentence without having stats, and I don't want to do that. But basically, you know, he had that highlight of a walk-off homer against the Cubs. Can you tell me one thing that Dexter Fowler has done since then? I mean, he had the two double day.
And even that, the two double day, what stands out more in that situation was the base running. You know what I mean? That was the highlight of it, was that trip to second, you know, when he moved on Braun. And I know that may be apropos to nothing, but that stands out other than the hitting, and that just shows that I think we're scratching for something positive out of him.
Yeah. I mean, since that home run in against the Cubs, he's had 118 plate appearances in 27 starts, 38 games. So that's a decent number. I mean, you could say it's over 2 months basically now. And he's hit 181. He has no home runs. He has 5 doubles, 2 of which came in that day. He struck out 27 times. He's walked 12. You know, even if he could get his on-base percentage, of course, you know, on-base percentage, it's difficult to have a really high one and a terrible batting average, but you can't do it. You know, even if he could hit 230 and then get on base at a 300 clip or something, I mean, then you could start saying maybe there's something there, but, you know, his on-base percentage is less than Carpenter's batting average is now, I think. I mean, you have to look and see what Carpenter's batting, but it's real close. It's real close. So, yeah. And given how Carpenter was so terrible at the beginning of the year, you know, that's just, again, it's, if it's the first month of the season, if it's the first 2 months of the season, you can let somebody play that out. You can let them try to find stuff. But when it gets down to this part of the year, you gotta go with the team that's winning. Or you gotta go with the team that's putting something together. And right now that's Harrison Bader. You know, he's hitting .274 on the season. He has more homers than Dexter does in fewer at bats. We know he plays good defense. He's got, what, the second most steals on the team. And he's got the best steal percentage probably, because sure, Tommy Pham's terrible. He steals more bases, but he also gets caught all the time.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, how do you not play Harrison Bader on a regular basis? Now, then they throw the other wrinkle into this mix this week, as we saw Jose Martinez take a game out in right field, and the idea being that he's going to play a number of games out there. Now, he's not playing out there in San Francisco, like you were saying, due to the outfield and stuff like that.
I'm sure that, yeah.
Which is interesting, because we're seeing him sit for the second night in a row tonight.
Yes.
Because he can't play that, and they don't want him playing first base. So when you throw that wrinkle into the mix, and you got a guy like Martinez, who is hitting, you know, what, .293 or something like that? Yeah, leading the team in batting average. He is second on the team to Matt Carpenter in OPS. 13 home runs on the year. He's going to play somewhere, and he can't play first, apparently. How do you play Dexter Fowler over Jose Martinez?
Yeah. I completely agree. I mean, it's just such a tough spot for him. I liked the lineup last night, and I liked it tonight. I was surprised that Fowler was not in it last night, not so much tonight, because who are you going to sit? You know, I was thinking that Ozuna may have a day off today, but he had 2 hits last night. You know what I mean? And he's one of those, he's not the hitter the Cardinals I think we're expecting, but I like Ozuna, so I kind of pump him up a little bit more. He's tough to take out of the lineup.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's your threat outside of Carpenter, who Carpenter's on a run that's amazing right now, but he's still your threat. You can't set him. So yeah, you're right. I mean, you've got to play your best team. And unfortunately, some of the things that you and I have talked about all year, of they have a lot of redundancy in the lineup. Well, that's now it's gone from the infield to the outfield, to try to figure out a way to get Martinez bat in the lineup, moved out there, which is going to push Fowler even further down. So yeah, I mean, it's a tough spot to be in. I would think that there has to be some sort of move made just to clear up some of the issues. I'm starting to think they're not going to be major players in it, and I'm not sure whether they should, because if you can give Jerko every day at bats, you know, he's come around when he plays more, and that's always going to be the excuse with Fowler too. But I don't know if you're at a, I don't know if you're at a point where you can do that, just because even if Jerko's not hitting, Jerko's your best option at third base. So to answer your question, I really don't know the answer. I mean, it's funny, where there's going to have to be space cleared somewhere. And I don't know. I mean, it's just tough to say what's going to happen in the Fowler front.
Yeah, I don't. I mean, it is interesting that so many people, like, and you're not the only person that I've heard say this, about letting Jerko have this run, letting Jerko play and get that bat out there. You know, we've talked, remember, the talking point on Jerko for the last 2 years has been he wears down in the second half.
Yeah, sure.
That he doesn't need to play that much. You know, and maybe he's sat enough this year that that's not an issue, and I think some of last year's fading was an injury that we didn't, but, you know, he's not hit very well either this year. Well, maybe he will when he's running out there, but it's a lot of ifs. You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
And, I'm not saying you're wrong, because I don't necessarily think you are, but, you know, it's going to, like, I don't know. It kind of feels like the Cardinals need to figure out what they want to do and commit to it. Like, do they want Jose Martinez to play right field? Then let him play right field. Don't bounce him between right and first. Don't, you know, let him play right field. Do they want the defensive hands team on there of Jerko and Wong and be a pitching and defense team? then play them even if they're not hitting. But I think it's getting too late in the game to try to keep mixing and matching and try to figure out what's going on.
I completely agree with that. That's one of those situations to where I think that the game, I think tonight will be pretty telling with the young back. You know, because I think Munoz has done a fantastic job, by the way. If you think about it, you don't have the Young's bat, but you haven't missed a lot of offense at a shortstop for a guy that hasn't played a lot of shortstop in his career in Munoz. So I'm glad that he gets to stick around, and I like him as a player. I think that I think he's one of those guys that ultimately be a double-digit steal guy, you know, whenever he learns how to run and all kinds of stuff. I think he's going to be very beneficial to have. But right now with the young back, I think this is the infield that you want. And I like that because then it gives you a chance to play Wong every day. With that being said, though, he's either got to start hitting or everybody's got to start hitting to compensate for that. I like that they've done this. But yeah, you're right. I mean, they're going to have to say, okay, this is the direction that we're going to go. I think they're almost better to make that decision of we're going to be a pitching and defense club, but we've got to supplement offense somewhere. Now, whether that's Martinez and Wright, a timeshare of Martinez, Pham, Ozuna, and Bader, and then figure it out from there. Now, the name I didn't say was Fowler. That's gonna be the albatross on the whole situation. Like, I wish there was a situation to where there was no Fowler involved and you could maybe go get a Curtis Granderson as a veteran hitter that wants another shot at a World Series. You know, one of those situations who's not gonna knock the cover off the ball or is not gonna come out and be a superstar, but he's gonna be a veteran presence for you. And that could be a bat that could overcome something of playing a Wong and your Jerko a little bit. Now those are fantasy trade type situations, mm-hmm. because they've got issues on the roster that they're going to have to clear up to compete. And you're exactly right. Nothing bothered me more, and I knew that's how it was going to go. I felt like if you were going to play Martinez in right field, you needed to do it in Phoenix, you know, in Scottsdale. I felt like that was the place where you needed to figure it out, not at a tough outfield to cover in San Francisco. But here it is, you know, he plays right one night and then the very next night, or he plays first. You know, one of those things, you're just like, well, that's what we're talking about. There's just so much redundancy on the roster that you're just picking and choosing where you want to go. And, you know, Carpenter had the two errors that night. And he's done a great job at third this year. But the infield just looks smooth and more cohesive when it's Munoz, Lester Young, which would be DeYoung the way out, and I have zero issues with that as the everyday shortstop, of course. But then you go Jerko, DeYoung, Wong, and Carpenter. It just seems more fluid.
It does. And again, it's just difficult to know. It's difficult to know anything about this team, which we've said a number of times. I mean, this team's sitting at four games over 500. It's 6.5 out of the division. It's playing a team in the Giants. It's a lot like it. A lot of similarities, I think. Figuring all this out is difficult enough without throwing this whole extra baggage into the mix, but it's there, and they have to deal with it in however they can. I have no idea how that is, but the fact that we're sitting here talking about this situation a year and a half after Dexter Fowler was supposed to come save the clubhouse, I don't know what that means. It obviously means that whatever they thought they were getting from the intangibles wasn't there. You know, it is interesting to note. I don't know if it means anything. I don't know if it should be factored in. But it's somewhat interesting to note that this is not the first time this has come up with Dexter Fowler. You know, I think many of us have seen the comments from the Rockies GM soon after they traded him to Houston, and basically said that Dexter needs to come with that edge every day or something like that. And I don't know that that's a question of effort, maybe of mindset or something like that, but it's not the first time that there's been some sort of criticism hanging around him. And, you know, like Bernie pointed out, for all the love that the Cubs have given to Dexter Fowler over the years, and especially in the last couple of weeks, they never offered him more than a year deal. They never offered him a long-term contract. You know, he basically was going to go to the Orioles and then, you know, showed up at the last minute for 16 for them. Now, being on a, you know, and he goes in there, he's the key point, apparently. He goes, they go to the, to a championship team that hadn't won in 100-something years, and he didn't resign. And it wasn't a bidding war from what I remember. It was the Cardinals went out and, you know, signed him, and the Cubs said, okay. And that's, I don't know. You know, obviously their relationships are different, but you do wonder if that factors into anything. I mean, not yeah, at all.
Well, yeah, I agree. And that's it. We can probably pick apart a lot of his career at this point. You know what I mean? Which is sad because that's – I've always liked Fowler just because I have really fond memories of him here in Tulsa. He was one of the better athletes I'd seen come through here, learn how to switch it. You know, really good athlete. But there's baggage that comes around. And kind of stinks. I mean, that's that – it was real quick to bring up that O'Dowd article that called him out for the same things that Mo has. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's – It's tough. I wish the best. I wish there was a situation where, you know, here I throw out the name of Granderson because, he, you know, he's obviously going to be traded. I wish Fowler would be that guy. Mm-hmm. You know, a second half of Fowler that they had last year, and this team is pretty good, but Bader's making it impossible to put him on the field.
Yeah, that's the tough part is you just can't argue. There's really not any arguing that he should be on there. And there's no way to make him better. So I don't know. Unfortunately, it's not a Greg Holland situation. I mean, we saw that. We were talking the same kind of stuff, except, well, even the off the field stuff. We were talking about Holland forcing his way back. We were talking about Holland not wanting to go to the minors. We were talking about Holland, you know, tearing this team up because of that. And now what if we don't talk about Greg Holland anymore because Greg Holland looks like he's pretty much fixed.
Yeah.
But it took, it took him figuring out his mechanical problem, I guess.
Yeah.
But it also took, you know, a little bit of time away from the team and time in the minors. Fowler's not going to give that.
Well, and that's the thing is that was a really hot topic today on 101. I was in the car quite a bit today and I really love the roster. I'm really excited. You know, just like calling on our group text. So, you know, one of the co-writers on our group now, he made the comment this morning about, he was like, well, he didn't like the Fowler stuff because he really couldn't concentrate and enjoy the game last night. And I kind of like all the roster shakeup right now just because they've been so boring for the last month and a half.
Yeah.
You know, it kind of gives us something else to talk about. But back to the deal, that was the situation where they were like, is a Memphis trip not something that may be in the cards? And they wouldn't have to use it as a demotion, say that his foot's hurting again. You know, give him 10 days. Go down and get 3 or 4 games, 5 games, work something out. Maybe knock the cover off the ball and figure something out. I would like to see that. I think pride's going to be a factor.
Well, and yeah, I mean, there's some of that. I don't think Fowler's going to agree to something like that, especially if there's not actually anything there. But you also got to wonder, if he goes to Memphis and he doesn't hit, then what?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know? And there's a good chance he couldn't. Because you look at, you know, when Carpenter was so bad off this earlier in the year, people like Zach and others came along and said, Carpenter's going to be okay. He's barreling the ball. There's blah, blah, blah. There's this, there's that. There's reasons to think that he can be better. And Carpenter got better. There's not those same situations with Dexter Fowler. I mean, there's some things that are in line with last year, and there's some things that make you think that he should hit on a level that was last year, but there's not those balls are going to start dropping, or if he does this, or if he tweaks this, or there just doesn't seem to be a good reason for why he's this bad. And that's, I think, kind of scary, because you don't know how to fix it if there is a way to fix it.
Yeah, and you're right. I thought about that a lot. It was, I remember Saxton was on 101 the 1st of May, and made a comment about, he goes, well, Fowler and Carpenter have to turn things around quickly or they're going to have a sunk season. And that was about the time that report came out that, hey, some of these advanced metrics show that Carp is close to busting out, where Fowler is not hitting the ball hard. Ozuna is, Carp is, not necessarily Fowler. And there were some warning signs on that. And then Sachs made that comment. He's like, well, they've got to figure it out. He's kind of going to have a sunk year. And regardless, and I thought you put this well, this is going to be the worst year of his career, regardless, even if he really does take off. You know, to get back to his basically career norms, he would have to just knock the cover off the ball at this point, and, you know, it's just probably not going to happen. So, you know, I don't know. There's a lot of warning signs on that, you just want to throw your hands in the air, and it's kind of a hand-wringing situation to kind of see where this is, where all of this is going to lead the club.
Yeah, I don't know. It feels like a situation that I don't see that they can fix it now, but it also doesn't seem very likely that Dexter Fowler's a Cardinal after this year.
Sure.
So that may be where we're at. Shift gears a little bit. Like you've mentioned a couple of times in this in our discussion, the Cardinals have activated Paul DeJong tonight. Austin Gomber goes to the minor leagues instead of Yarier. Instead of Munoz. It's sad.
We're doing
this early. I can't even say it's late, and it's not. Yarier Munoz. That is still, anyway. Munoz stays up. And I thought, you know, you and I talked about that some this week. It was a little bit interesting to see what they wanted to do there, because obviously Munoz, you know, has figured out how to hit the big leagues. We saw him struggle at the beginning of the year, but he went to the minors. He kind of adjusted, and then he's played. The question was, is he going to be able to be that bench bat and keep hitting, or does he need to play every day? And the Cardinals, at least for right now, feel like he can be that bench bat, and we'll see if that happens. But you're right. There wasn't just a huge drop-off offensively, at least. And you can talk about the defense later. But offensively, you know, Munoz held his own, which is kind of why it's a little bit interesting to see so many people talking about, you know, some idea that DeJong coming back and everybody feels like, oh, this is great, and now we're going to take off, where it really shouldn't be that much different.
No. Yeah. That, I'm optimistic about it just because DeJong lengthens the lineup so much. Mm-hmm. I know that takes away from Munoz after heaping so much praise on him from you and I both. But I worry about the power. Any hand injury always seems to zap power a little bit. So it could be a net neutral, you know, between the two of them, but I don't know. There's just a feeling that they're kind of rounding into shape roster wise, you know, and I don't know, but Munoz didn't make you miss him a whole lot, but I think as a club entirely, they did. And I think there may be a more leadership factor from DeJong, and that's the intangibles that people don't want to hear. But, you know, I'm glad to have him back. I think this is their best infield alignment. I will say, the idea of Munoz being a terrible shortstop is completely, I think that's overblown, because I felt like his errors came in bunches. You know, because I think he had a 3-error game, and I think he had a 2-error game. And that accounts for over half of what he did ultimately in the games that he did play. So, you know, I don't think he was as poor defensively as he did, and especially a guy that has not played a whole ton of shortstop. So he's done well. So, but I'm still glad to see DeJong back. I was excited to see the activation today and how they were going to play it. And I was also glad to see the Munoz stayed around, whether it may be short lived because, as you said, he may need regular at bats. And like you and I talked about this week, I think it would probably be pretty telling if he went down and played a lot of third and second. You know, to kind of see where they maybe think he may be, you know, moving forward. But, you know, thought he did a great job. Needed a pat on the back. I like Munoz. I like the idea of someone slugging their way onto the team who wasn't in the picture around opening day. And he definitely did that and went down. I thought the lights were a little too bright for him early. Goes down and battles his way back and is a productive player. So with all that said, I'm still glad to see DeJong back because I feel like we're inching closer to kind of that super productive lineup.
Hopefully so. And like we were talking a little bit about something else earlier, you know, there are two off days next week, and then you get the All-Star break. So if you're going to go with seven pitchers, this is the time to do it, and that gives Austin Gomber a chance to go down and prepare to be a starter, which is kind of interesting as well, and something we'll talk about. But, you know, if you didn't go with seven pitchers here, you know, I feel like we've gotten away from that, you know, got to have eight guys a lot this year. There have been times where they've done seven, and there's not really that reliever that doesn't pitch this year. I think everybody has kind of, you know, pitched as much as they can, some maybe more than others. But, you know, I don't know. It's kind of interesting to think about it. With Bowman been gone, I don't know over the last few weeks if there's been a guy being abused, if you will. I'd have to look at the usage, but nobody really stands out to me. I mean, there's times where you're wondering about Jordan Hicks, but there's not been any of those, you know, pitching 3 days in a row or anything like that. They seem to be spacing him out. So, you know, maybe they're trying to, of course, it's helped that there's other options in the bullpen that are working, but maybe I'm just not following as closely. It doesn't feel like there's been that guy that's definitely not a guy that's being held under glass. It doesn't feel like there's a guy that's being overused right now.
No, I completely agree with that. I think that you're seeing I actually just about commented on that in the Arizona series to where I like how they kind of they're kind of using Brevia and Tui Vilala a little bit, and they're actually putting him in some big minutes. Mm-hmm. In big innings, I guess you'd say. And then Myers the same. You know, that's they've pitched some really big innings for the team, and I think that points to some of the reasons why the bullpen has been so improved.
That's true.
You know, it's funny because we had kind of pointed to that and we're just like, well, some guys are just being miscast, you know, because they had Myers as the long guy, kind of mop-up guy, and they kind of had Brevy as the guy late in innings and Tui Vilala a little bit whenever Hicks or Norris weren't available. Now Holland's kind of stepped into that seventh, eighth inning role too, and you know they're actually have really improved. You know, after about the past 3 weeks have looked pretty good. So you're right. I think that the usage is great on the high end and the low end right now with these guys.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting that we're seeing this, but. Anyway, so, and I kind of got a little bit off track of what I was thinking about a minute ago, but it was the fact that we're seeing, and maybe this is the front office taking control of this. Maybe it's Matheny adjusting a little bit. Maybe it's Mike Maddox telling Matheny this is how you use the bullpen so you don't need eight guys. Who knows all the different reasons, but we have seen a lot more of the 13-12 hitter split than we have over the last few years, and that's good, I think. And it is good for Munoz to stay up, and because that's a pretty solid bat off the bullpen or off the bench, because you know he may not be the guy that you want to get up there if you have to have a home run, but if you've got a guy on second late innings, in theory, that would be a good spot for him. We'll see if he can adjust to those situations.
Sure.
Now Gomber goes down to be that starter. And it does feel like, for all the fact that we've talked about depth and depth and depth and all this, there's still a need there for a starter. And Gomber could be, after the All-Star break, he could be, especially if Walker's not going to be back, and we'll have to talk. I don't know. I haven't heard anything about Walker recently. You know, if Gant starts to stumble, or if Weaver, who threw a great game last night, but had been really kind of shaky before mm-hmm. that, you know, he could slide into the rotation, but if nothing else, it gives Mo that a little bit of insurance when he starts talking about trades with other teams.
Yeah, I think this is a great move. I really like Gomber up with the club, but it's one of those situations where he can go down and be extended to pitch multiple innings and get back in a starter's routine, but always come back up and take over the role that he had with the club, which was great. I mean, he was put into that seventh, eighth, and ninth inning role, or you know, seventh and eighth inning role, pretty quickly, and it was pretty good. So Cecil kind of coming around, let's keep our fingers crossed on that, has helped in making this transition a little bit. And you're right. It makes sense because, you know, Weaver seemed to be on the ropes until last night, but then he looked dominant. Gant has been solid, but, you know, he's going to get an extended look. The book's going to be out on him a little bit more. And, you know, we'll see how those results look. So I think it's perfect time to send him down to get extended and to kind of build back some of that starter depth that we heard forever. Yeah. And like I said, and you're right. You know, all we've heard was, you know, Wainwright's not going to pick up a ball till the end of July. Maybe the same with Waka. Well, you never know. I mean, you honestly, you know, if you throw, you get back into it, you don't have a whole lot of season left to work those guys in, and it seems like they're going to be in a battle every day. So I think you need to stockpile that starting pitching depth a little bit more than what they have now. After the loss of Reyes, I think you've got to start figuring that out a little bit more, whether that's within the organization or outside the organization.
You know, and I think we may have touched on it last week, but it just, the pressure for Hudson to come up does not seem to be as strong out inside the organization as there was outside. I think a lot of people wanted to see Hudson make that, and Gant's come in and done fine. And it'll be interesting to see if Gomber makes it back before Hudson. He might, because he's on the 40 man where Hudson is not. There is still depth there, and they could trade from it if they needed to, but it's not what it was when we thought you had Reyes and you thought maybe you had a good Wainwright and you had a healthy Waka and all this kind of stuff. So you got to do something with them, and it's interesting that they're going that route and it's kind of interesting as well this week. You know, when we saw all this about Dexter Fowler coming back from the paternity list, we didn't really talk about the fact that Matt Bowman came back and was immediately optioned down to Memphis, where he has never been. He has never pitched for Memphis, which is surprising enough, at least, unless he did so as a rehab, but I don't think he's had any rehab out down there. That doesn't feel like something the Cardinals would have done even at the beginning of this season. Bowman has always seemed to have this, well, for lack of a better term, Athene protection bubble, where he's going to be on the major league roster no matter what. And, you know, we've seen a lot of Myers go down or Brebbia go down or whatever, even when they might not have deserved it. So it's kind of interesting and to see that move not made this time, that Bowman went to the minor leagues. And I'm not arguing it. I think it was the right move to make, but it's just not one that we've seen the Cardinals make in the past.
Yeah, I agree. It was kind of refreshing to see. I mean, you don't want to say that for, you know, for Bowman's sake, but
right.
I always wondered why he had a pass on that. You know, Myers and Brevi and they were just, they had to work that the way back to Memphis and St. Louis the whole time, and Bowman kind of got a pass. And this one seemed to make sense just because I don't think they really realize what is going on with Bowman as far as the blister deal and not healing and all that. They may have a handle on it better than we did, but I mean, do we really want to figure that out on the big league level? You know, so I don't know. I think this made a lot of sense. It was kind of refreshing to see.
Yeah. Yeah, it was, and pretty surprising, but I'm glad that they did that. Because right now the bullpen, for better or for worse, all the people that could have gone down instead of, you know, that might have been worse than Bowman, you know, all the people that could go down were better than Bowman. Anybody that was worse than Bowman can't go down. So, you know, it does kind of suck for him, but, you know, he has gotten a chance to play in the big leagues when maybe he should have gone to Memphis. Now, obviously, the first year, you couldn't send him down. But last year and some of this year, there were times where maybe that would have been the smarter move, and they didn't do it. So it's good to see them do that. You know, here we are. you know what, when we record the show next week, we'll just be a couple of days away from the break. We've passed the halfway point in games, passed the halfway point in series. What's your feeling on this team? I mean, is there hope for them to get back into a race? I mean, they're third in the wild card. You know, if there's two teams between them and the last wild card spot. You know, you kind of hope maybe the Brewers are going to come back to it, but then the Cubs look like they're really playing like the Cubs have been as of late. It's hard to see a division title in that picture, but I don't know. What do you think? Is this a playoff team?
I think they're going to be the wild card hunt all year, and we see how that's done the past few years. Mm-hmm. You know, where I keep holding out hope that you have enough head-to-head where you can kind of get back in the division if you... You're going to have to add, or guys are going to have to, your offense is going to have to pick up and score, and your pitching is going to have to stay at an elite level that it has been. I'm fairly confident that they're going to have the pitching to keep them in it at a high level all year. I think you're going to have to look outside the organization for a shakeup and a bat to stay involved and to take. I think you have to look at taking a step up. You haven't made the playoffs the last 2 years. A game short 2 years ago. You know, last year, a weekend short. I think you have to make that up somewhere. I think you've got to figure out a way to add a bat. I think you have to improve. I think that's going to happen, but I wouldn't put that down in blood. You know, I don't know. I think that they're still convinced that they may come around after 2.5 years. I just don't believe that that's going to happen. I think this is the team that they are. I think you're going to have streaks to where you play really well. And I think you're going to have streaks to where you pitch really, really well. And I think the bullpen's come around. It's going to save you some ball games. But I do think you need to improve to overcome some of these teams, because those teams that you're chasing are going to do that. They are going to improve. They're going to go, and they're going to stockpile. The Cubs are going to get guys. The Brewers are going to get guys. They're kicking the tires on a lot of things right now. The Phillies are going to be major players. They're about a year advanced. They're ready to play. It's going to be tough. I really, really worry that 5-game set in Chicago right after the break is going to be kind of a make or break in the division, that is. I think you're still going to stay around, but you go in there and lose 4 out of 5, and you're going to be fighting. That's going to be an uphill climb, and it's just not going to be easy. I think they're a lot better than they've played. I think they're a lot better than we think they are. I think they're starting to come around, and I think they're starting to put the right combination on the field. Your best hitter, they're going to have to find a spot for him, whether that's going to be turn it into another bullpen piece, turn it into another arm, something. But you're going to have to figure out what to do with Martinez. I think that you're at the point now to where you really start need to clearing up a lot of these question marks if you are going to make a run. I would love to say I'm optimistic that they're going to do that. I can't say that with conviction, though. But I do think they're going to improve. I think a lot of the signs, and I think that was part of Mo's poker play on the Fowler situation, that no one's safe, that things are going to have to get, we're going to have to ruffle some feathers on this deal to get better. At what point that comes, I'm not so certain that the 31st of July is not too late. And just because that 5-game set is looming so heavy in my mind.
Well, you know, it's kind of interesting to think about where they're going to be even before that, because, you know, we look at this Giants series, and again, I feel like it's a series they very well may wind up splitting, although getting the first game may help that.
Yeah.
You hope to sweep the White Sox on a 2-game set, but you never know. And then you get the Reds, and you know, we talk about the Reds
are playing well.
Absolutely. Yeah. The Reds are not the same Reds team that we saw all of April and May. It's good that we got the chance the Cardinals got the chance to get the wins then, because the Reds team's playing a lot better. And it may be that the Cardinals still match up well with them and they'll take them on. But if not, I mean, it's kind of like last year. The Cardinals, I think, had a 10-9 record against the Reds last year, but they won like 8 of those games in the second half. You know, at the All-Star break, they were miserable against the Reds, which was bad because the Reds were bad. But it may be the reverse this year. They may win the season series, but most of that's going to come at the beginning of the year. I think that's something to watch for. I mean, if they go in and they sweep the Reds again right going into the break, you maybe there's something there, but I don't know. I'm just not sure that Mo feels like he wants to invest in this team. And I guess it probably depends. Of course, you know, Mo's in his spot, and you've got Gersh, and apparently Gersh does something. But I still think most of these trades and stuff are going to be on Mo's plate. If he feels like his job's secure, he may not want to sell or buy and give up talent, even though it may mean that Mike Matheny's gone. Because it's very difficult. I think we've all said, they said this all year long. They gave Mike Matheny enough talent. They've given him enough coaching. There's nothing else they can do for Mike Matheny. And if they miss the playoffs for three straight years, it's just very, very difficult to see him coming back with, or there's like a really significant drop off in the fan tickets and things of that nature. I think you got to do something different. So
yeah,
I don't know if they go and if they don't win the, you know, if they split with the Giants and then, you know, kind of split that White Sox Reds area, I just don't know that if I'm Mo, I say, yeah, I'm going to sell the farm for Manny Machado, or I'm going to sell the farm for this or that. I just don't know that there's one thing that makes a difference.
No, well, I agree with that. But let me, two things. I agree with you wholeheartedly. That, you know, you and I talked about this a lot, and I kind of go back to this every year. This West Coast trip always really, really concerns me. So at this point, for them to win three games, in all honesty, between everybody that's listening, I didn't think they'd win three games on the trip and on this West Coast swing, especially after getting swept. I felt like they may be lucky enough to win one in Arizona and maybe lucky enough to split. But three wins right now, if they do split with the Giants and come back with that amount of wins, I'll be pretty happy. Then you got to go in and you can't lose two to the White Sox. You know, you got to go in and take care of business, and then that puts you at the same spot with the Reds, you know, right before the break. But I do agree with you. Things do have to change, whether that's at the top and that's or in the dugout. You're probably right. I want to kind of not necessarily backtrack, but as far as making moves, I think that they could benefit by being sellers. By being buyers and sellers at the same time, just because you have to get rid of some of this roster redundancy, and it's just ugly that you just have too many of the same type of player, and like I've said, I don't think there's a situation next year where the infield's going to consist of. I'm going to go by least likely to maybe most likely to not be here next year. You're going to go with your Carpenter. You're going to go with your Jerko, your Martinez, and your Wong. I don't think the combination of those four are going to be on the roster next year. You know, some of those names won't be here. What I'm asking is, if that's the situation, and to me that seems like a really easy situation to kind of look at to clear up, why not start that now? Mm-hmm. Why not move some of those names now? I don't think Carpenter's going to get traded. Jerko and Wong may be the most obvious, but for some reason I think Jerko is probably safer than Martinez because Martinez doesn't really have a position. Wong, as much as I want to keep him defensively, he's shown that he may not be the hitter he was last year, and I think you can get probably a quality return out of him. Just because I think you could probably sell teams and they see it as, hey, he's an elite defender, he may need a change of scenery. I think that there may be some of that factor as far as moving him. I'm not advocating for any of those guys to be traded, but there's things that are going to have to be done, and some of the names that we have grown to like are going to be somewhere else in order for them to improve.
Yeah, you're right, and you're right that they could well start that now. But then again, I mean, it's as much as we say they can, as much as we would understand that, I mean, there is a fan base out there that doesn't want to think about giving up on this season. And trades like that, whether it would help the team in the short run or the long run or whatever, I think some of those trades, they would think that. And again, that doesn't mean they shouldn't do them, but they've got to realize there might be a backlash to that. Then again, they could do what was it, the Yankees last year or the year before? You know, they traded off Chapman. I guess it's 16 because they traded off Chapman to the Cubs, and then actually kept winning. You know, I think we made the playoffs anyway. You know, sometimes you juggle things around and you know things work. So maybe that's what they need to do too. But I don't know. I think that it's just a mess, and maybe this week will give us some clarity. Like I said, you know, if you go in there and you win 3 or 4 against the Giants and you win 4 or 5 against the Reds and the White Sox going into the break, well, then maybe you think you found something. But it's hard to believe that this team can do that when we haven't seen them do that all year long.
Yeah, yeah, that's, and that's the thing is sometimes they kind of reel me back in by thinking, okay, well, they're kind of turning it around. And then I got to think back. I mean, it's like they've done this to us 3 years in a row, essentially. And I mean, I love all the guys. The roster is not perfect, but you watching everybody every night, you grow to like them. There's none of the guys that you just dislike. But you're right. It's just like, well, where do the changes come from, and how are they going to have to do it? And they may look incredibly different. But we've said that before. So, I mean, it's one of those that I'm going to need a little more convincing than we have now.
Yeah, that's the thing. We don't – you can't really say that that's going to happen until it happens. And then if they start doing or start playing better, we'll see. But we're not really to the believing stage of that right now. Even though there are signs. I mean, you look and there's times where the offense looks good and the bullpen seems to be fine and the rotation, except for Weaver, Carlos Martinez finally seems to be getting back on track. Maybe not, you know, as otherworldly as he was before the DL, but much better than he was those 4 starts after. Michaelis is still good. Gann has filled in well. The rotation is pretty solid. I don't think there's too many games that have just blown up, and the bullpen's been good. You know, in the nights that everything clicks, kind of like last night with Weaver, they look great. It's just trying to get them to click on a regular basis.
Sure.
I don't know.
Well, and you know what? You kind of look and you look at the standings, and that's the one thing that kind of makes you feel pretty good, in the fact that I'm just kind of looking over, you know, the division leaders and all that, and they he gives up some home runs. But you almost want to give Flaherty the advantage of most of the guys he's starting against. Now, Sunday's going to be tough, you know, with Bumgarner, just because he's good and he's got the proven track record. But Flaherty's really come around a lot this year. And it's one of those where you feel like you have a good chance with him on the mound every night he starts. I kind of feel the same way with Michaelis. You know, Martinez comes around and you're looking at 3 guys that you have an advantage most nights against a lot of the guys that you're trailing in these divisions. You've got to add some offense. I think Gant's fine. And then Weaver coming around last night makes you feel pretty good that they're going to be able to pitch their way into contention. You just have to change things up a little bit, and you've got to add some kind of excitement offensively to compensate for that. So, you know, I don't know. They're just such a weird team. I was thinking that they may have missed all the good. They may have blown an opportunity of not taking advantage of how good the pitching was. Now it's kind of starting maybe come full circle to where it may become dominant again. And, you know, you just hope they don't blow that opportunity as well.
That would be nice, but we'll have to wait and see what they're going to do. Like I say, we got an interesting run ahead of us. before we get into the final little stretch. Alan and I probably will be with you next week, as far as I know. And we'll have a all-star roundtable podcast a week from Sunday as well. So that will be a lot of fun as we break down the first half with some of their podcasters. So that should be a good thing. That will probably be on the Conversations with C70 feed if you're subscribed over there. It's just, it's that point. I mean, we're at that point where, you know, we get through next week, we have the All-Star break, and then the rumors start going hot and heavy, and we see what this team actually wants to do between now and then the deadline. So until then, for Alan, I'm Daniel. Good night.
Good night.
Sooner from the belt to the plate. A swing and a miss, and that's a winner! That's a winner! A World Series winner for the Cardinals!